This episode of The Squanch is brought to you by Simple Contacts. Get $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/wisecrack or enter the code wisecrack at checkout. Hey everyone, welcome to The Squanch, Wisecrack's Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Jared and I'm joined here with the OG Squanchers. We got the original crew back. We got Ryan.
Wubba lubba, hey everyone.
And back from the dead is Alec.
Ooh-wee, happy to be here.
Welcome back, Alec. Good to have you.
Thank you.
All right, so today we're talking about Rick and Morty Season 1, Episode 8, called Rixty Minutes. But before we get into that, Alec, I think, has some Rick and Morty news to catch us all up on.
Well, it's not quite news anymore, but
things that we need to comment on.
Yeah, things we need to comment on. The Bushland Adventures of Rick and Morty came out on April Fool's Day.
Is it Bush World?
Bush World, yeah. I think that sounds right. That sounds approximately right. What did you guys think of that?
Well, can you explain a little bit what Bush World Adventures is?
Yeah, so I just saw a tweet on April 1st. It's like, the new season's out, and of course it's not. It is Australian Rick and Morty, animated, and I think voiced by someone completely different, but it was animated, made by a guy named Michael Cusack. And it's just them and their Bushland adventures. They have to go find a cube in Bendigo, and it's really fucking weird. And I don't know about you guys, but I loved it.
You loved it?
I watched it again today, and the second viewing was even better.
Well, I watched about 6 minutes ago leading up to this podcast, and I wouldn't say I loved it. It was interesting.
Well, Alec, did you watch it live on Adult Swim? How did you see it?
I think so. Yeah, I watched it April 1st.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it was a good joke. I mean, I'm glad that they did something. I'm glad that, you know—
What is the joke?
Well, the joke is that, well, so even you sent us the tweet, right? You sent us that Dan Harmon said that there was going to be a new episode airing Sunday, and Sunday was April 1st, and this was it.
Okay, so the joke is that it's not a normal Rick and Morty episode.
Well, yeah, because remember last year they had the Szechuan— Szechuan sauce episode on April 1st, and now this year they are kind of teasing us with perhaps, you know, another episode of season 3 or perhaps a season 4 episode. Maybe they've been working on it in secret, but no. It's something animated by a completely new guy. I believe it's like they found him on YouTube or something like that, but it's just completely bizarre. They have Australian accents. A lot of the elements of Rick and Morty, like the portal gun is now a regular gun. They don't actually hop dimensions. They just kind of ride around in Australia cursing at each other.
It really imagines Rick as like a hyper-abusive grandfather. And except for that one part where they go to the cave, there's nothing magical about it. You know, again, his portal gun is replaced by a real gun. And then he's just like fucking with him, trying to get him put things on his wiener.
So I think that this actually speaks to the episode we're about to talk about because, you know, this is the first interdimensional cable episode and it is, you know, definitely one of the most bizarre random episodes. And I think that like the fact that there's really nothing particularly Rick and Morty about the Bush World Adventures or Bushland Adventures is in itself very Rick and Morty. Like this is just an aspect of the show that not even directly because they have this multiverse thing where they can really like show any kind of reality and it all makes sense within the multiverse, but like Rick and Morty really can do anything and get away with it. They can emulate any style. You know, they can do Carl's Jr. commercials. They can do, what was it recently I saw? They had like some sort of commercial that was like Rick and Morty inhabiting the style of like a 70s blaxploitation film. And it all just makes sense within the overall IP.
Are you talking about the Run the Jewels video?
Well, there's that, but I think I was something else. But yeah, the Run the Jewels video, that's another example.
You know, if you think of our other podcast, South Park, like they also can do anything, but at the same time, like every week it like resets and it doesn't feel like it's actually even happening. It's just kind of because that world is so boundless. Whereas this is, anything can happen, but it actually makes sense in the show logically, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, this one definitely suspends even the multiverse logic of the show, but it just,
They go to the Bush dimension.
I guess what I'm saying is the absurdity of it, the randomness, the idea that it's all of a sudden Rick and Morty in Australia, and Jerry isn't acting like Jerry at all. He's some sort of, like, a wizard in the middle of the fucking desert, is bizarre, but seemingly appropriate. Like, we can expect that level of absurdity from Rick and Morty.
Absolutely.
It's not taking the story seriously in a way that is itself very Rick and Morty. Like the call to action is Rick trying to get Morty away from his parents. And they're like, no, you're not taking him anymore. And then it's just to get like some inexplicable cube. And Rick and Morty does that all the time. They're sort of self-aware about the points of the story that they're doing. Then he kills the cashier and he gives the I don't trust or I don't respect bureaucrats. And Morty's right. like, that's out of context here. Like, what the fuck did you just do? And then getting into Ute Uncle Barry, which I fucking loved. It's just like, yeah, like we're Rick and Morty. We can just say things that don't make any sense. And it's kind of funny. So it's almost, it's making fun of Rick and Morty and also just not taking itself seriously in a way that is very Rick and Morty.
Anyway, I thought it was a good prank overall. I mean, I'm glad that we have that rather than nothing. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a B plus.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a nice C minus.
Oh, come on. I'm going to go A. Solid A.
All right.
There is news related to this, though, that the mayor of Bendigo, which is a real city in Australia, said, quote, "In some ways, I guess any publicity is good publicity." And then said, "Bendigo is a very vibrant and beautiful place."
Bendigo.
Bendigo is a very vibrant and beautiful place and nothing like what has been displayed. So...
Okay. All right. So let's move on to talk about Rick and Morty Season 1, Episode 8, Rixty Minutes. This is the first interdimensional cable episode. So as always, let's go around and get some initial reactions. Ryan, let's start with you.
These episodes are weird, you know, because like when I first saw it the very first time, I definitely remember being like, oh, this is a funny idea for a show, you know, like just kind of, it's like them getting to do their own sketches and stuff. It's certainly the one I revisit the least. I think this is maybe my second time to see it. And, for the most of the episode, it's just whatever. But then that one little speech that Morty has with Beth at the end, where he's just like,
Summer,
I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's just like, shut up, don't complain.
Nobody exists on purpose.
Yeah, nobody exists on purpose.
Everyone dies.
Come watch TV.
Yeah.
That really, you know, bumped it up a level. So yeah, I it's pretty good. B minus.
Alec?
I'm going to go B plus. Again, I also haven't watched it that often. But there are certain parts like nobody exists on purpose speech and specifically ball fondlers, Answer My Eyes Johnson, and also Gazorpazorp Field that just kind of make it all worth it. And also, I appreciate Beth and Jerry's relationship in this in a weird way.
Yeah, I like that part too. And the whole improv, you know, really felt improvised, like, you know, the cartoon. And then they comment on that at one point, you know. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, the first time I saw it.
I think I remember hearing this. I don't remember where I heard it, but this is the first time I've seen the episode since I heard this tidbit. And that is that they were so drunk while doing this improv that you can even hear that Justin Roiland sounds a little bit different or that he's slurring his words when he talks as Rick and Morty. And I actually kind of picked up on that this time.
I also don't remember if it was this one or the next interdimensional cable, but Brian Weissel, who we interviewed, was saying the best ones were the, like, people would yell things at Justin Roiland, and the more he hated the idea, the funnier it was, because you just end up making fun of it.
Yeah. You could even hear some of the laughing, like at the end of the gag, like they just start laughing and they just left it in, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My opinion is that similarly, I don't really revisit this one that much. And then when the whole, the famous quote that Morty says, that it seems like I've seen like 100 Instagram photos of various bars, like using a drawn version of Morty, like some sort of variation on that line. Like instead of come watch TV, it's like come grab a pint or something. Like it's become very iconic. And I just like don't remember it being in this episode. Because when you think about this episode,
I had that same feeling.
When you think about this episode, all you think about is the random interdimensional cable parts. But similar to you guys, I really like, I guess you could call it the B plot between Jerry and Beth. I think it's really strong. And then as far as rewatching Interdimensional Cable, when the first time I watched this, I was laughing my ass off. But I think a lot of that has to do with just the premise of trying to think in your mind, like, oh, what would a reality or a dimension have to look like for this to be normal entertainment?
Right.
And then when you're being assaulted with this randomness, it's so funny because the idea of the multiverse, this is when it hits you. You know, we're still in the first season, the first time we see this level of randomness, and it hits you how absurd the multiverse really is, and it's really funny. But then once you really realize that, and then once you kind of understand the just improvisational nature of it, it's not as fun for me. Like, it's not as fun to revisit.
Yeah. Mm.
But in terms of interdimensional cable episodes, I think this one is the best simply because I think I like this B plot more than I like the one about in the second season with like Jerry having to trade in his penis to save to save some like philanthropist, some alien philanthropist or something like that. But yeah, overall solid episode. I'd give it a B plus. If for nothing else, then just the Morty line because it's so good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that bumped it up for me.
Did any of you guys catch there was like a quick frame of a Game of Thrones in another dimension where everyone is little except for Tyrion.
Except for Tyrion is tall and everyone else is small. Yeah, that was funny. And it's also funny to see who is still alive in that frame. It just really dates the show because, like, oh, you know, he's no longer the Hand of the King. He's dead.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Spoiler. Well, I didn't say who.
Yeah.
I just said he. all right. Anyway, so let's get into a recap. Bored with American reality television, Rick infuses the Smith family cable box with crystallized xanthanite to access TV channels from every conceivable dimension, including one where Jerry is a famous TV star. While Rick and Morty indulge in random TV from across the multiverse, Jerry, Summer, and Beth become obsessed with a pair of goggles that shows them the lives of their alternate selves. Beth and Jerry watch in envy as Jerry's alternate self does coke with Johnny Depp, and Beth performs surgery on an actual human. Now exposed to the exciting life they would have led had they not had Summer, Beth and Jerry start to resent each other for holding them back from their dreams. Feeling like nothing more than a dream killer, Summer vows to run away from home to do something with turquoise. After Beth downs a whole box of wine, she and Jerry determine that their choice of starting a family hasn't done their kids any favor, so perhaps they should just call it quits and pursue their dreams while they still can. Morty convinces Summer not to run away by showing her his grave in the backyard and instilling the lesson in her that it doesn't matter if her birth was unwanted, existence itself is an accident, and nobody is here for a reason. On the brink of breaking up, Beth sees that under the glamour of being a real surgeon, she's just a lonely bird lady, and Jerry sees that under the veneer of his celebrity, he's just a drug-addled degenerate. Jerry sees himself fleeing from the cops on his way to Beth, where he confesses his love for her and that his entire life has been spent regretting the decision not to have Summer and be with her. So Beth tosses aside the headset, Jerry turns away from the TV, and they embrace while Rick and Morty and Summer watch Ball Fondlers. End of episode. All right, before we start breaking down the episode, want to give a shout out to our sponsors over at Simple Contacts. So, Ryan, how much do you love going to the doctor?
On a scale from 1 to 10, 0.
Me too. In fact, I've been in LA for 8 years and I still don't have an optometrist.
Gee whiz.
I know, it's really bad here. You know, my college roommate was an optometrist, so I try and stay loyal to my college roommates. So, you know, only when I go back to Texas.
You're a good person, Jared.
Luckily, I don't have to go to the optometrist every time I need new contacts because we've got Simple Contacts. And if I may also say, having contacts in your eyes is much better than ants in your eyes. So
could ants in your eyes Johnson even put these on underneath or, like,
you know, it's possible that the ants in his eyes make him see better. But
what did you
I don't
see
know.
The episode
I did see
he,
the episode I,
said
yeah he said he can't
see
anything.
Anything
that's right you're totally right. Anyway, so ants in your eyes Johnson should definitely go see a doctor, which brings me to say that although Simple Contacts is so reliable, so fast, so easy, it's not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. So if you're like eyes in your ants, Johnson, you still got to go to the doctor and get yourself checked out.
Just not as much as you would normally do.
Not as much as you would normally do. So let me tell you how it works. You go on the internet, you take a vision test that is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. I can't even find parking in LA at a doctor's office in less than 5 minutes. You take the vision test. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. They review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. And it's cheap. And they bring it right to your door. It's so simple. And because you guys are fans of the Squanch, they'll give you $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/wisecrack.
Whoa.
If you enter the code wisecrack at checkout. Ryan, what could you do with that $30?
Dude, I could buy like literally 30 cheeseburgers at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's a lot of cheeseburgers.
I know.
Yeah.
And
you can see them when you're eating them.
Way better than I normally could. I don't even need contacts, and I'll probably just get them anyway.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, just to save that 30 bucks.
Yeah, so get your contacts delivered right to your door in an easy, convenient, fast way, and get yourself 30 cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And on to the show. So, first question for you guys, if someone gave you these goggles into which you could peer into alternate versions of your life where you made different choices, would you do it? And I feel like I already know, I think I know what Ryan's going
to
say.
I mean, the answer to that is hell yeah. I'd
really?
Hang out and watch it all day. Why?
Well, that surprises me because you...
What did you think I was going to say?
Well,
no?
No, I thought you were going to say yes, but aren't you a no regrets kind of person?
Yeah, I mean... Not no regrets. I mean, but I mean, like in terms of big life choices, you know, yeah, stick by that. But like, yeah, you have little regrets.
But
know,
isn't
fuck.
This just a regret generator? Like, you know, if you just get to see all your alternate decisions, isn't it just, you know, like why torture yourself?
It's a FOMO generator.
Exactly.
You know?
But what if the realities are worse than yours and then you feel great about your decisions?
Well, that's the thing is that about half of them are going to be good, half of them are going to be worse, you know? So if you know that and go into to it being like, you know, life's pretty good right now. Can't complain. I want to put on the goggles and see how much better it would be and how much worse it would be. I feel like that would be quality entertainment.
What about you, Alec?
I think I would just like curl up in the fetal position thinking about it. In fact, that's what I want to do right now. I don't really know. I would want to.
It would be scary. I wouldn't scary like just choice. Jump out. I would be like, oh, fuck, this is going to be weird, but, you know, let's do it. Fuck.
Well, not only that, but don't you think that it would almost be like VR in the sense that you could get addicted to, it's almost like being John Malkovich, you know?
Right.
You would get addicted to, because it's basically the headset allows you to, I mean, you can't feel what the other person's feeling, but it's like VR of perhaps a more idealized life.
But can you set it up to a haptic suit?
I'm sure Rick could figure that out.
You don't think you would learn a lot from it and like that you could apply to your own life, you know, and make your life better?
No, because
maybe
because hindsight is always 20/20. Like what? Like, give me an example.
I mean, well, it's weird because you're actually living it, so it's not like you're getting to meet you in the future.
I mean, you could say like, oh, well, if I had, I don't know, if I had pursued this major in college instead of this one, I'd be a gajillionaire. And then, but what would you learn from
literally
that?
Anything but what we majored in would have made us more money.
Yeah.
I mean, good point. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you could learn something.
That's just, yeah, too much regret for me. So I decidedly would not put it on. I think that
really,
that would just,
you would just straight up forgo that.
Well, this that goes VR back experience. To the, this goes back to what we're always talking about in terms of how literal should we take the whole infinite realities thing, because then I could just keep scrolling until I'm like, oh man, I want to go to the reality where like I'm literally like the richest man in the world, or that I have like, you know, the reality where I'm like 6 inches taller or something like that. You could just, if there are infinite realities, you could just keep scrolling through the channels essentially until you find the reality you want, and then it's going to make you not want to live, I think, your current life.
Yeah, I can see that. I can. I definitely respect the decision to not put on the goggles. It's not like I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it makes sense that you wouldn't want to fuck up, you know, what you're doing now. But at the same time, I'm too curious. I got to do it.
Yeah.
What?
All right, let's talk about... No, go ahead,
I was
Alec.
Just going to say, what if it wasn't even infinite? It was just like... like, you can recall big life decisions you made. Like, for Jared, it's probably like making Wisecrack and stuff like that. And just your life if you didn't do those things. And then you could figure out... It's one thing to get into sci-fi of like, if I was 6 inches taller, like, clearly you can't control that. Or if I, you know, won the lottery. But if it's like, if I didn't do this tangible thing, start Wisecrack, right, or, you know, pick a different major. And it's like, oh, this one decision really fucked up my life. Not that what Wisecrack did, but, you know, other decisions could easily.
I just don't know what value would that
no,
be.
No, I'm not saying it would be. I'm saying
that
that's
would just
way
torture
more,
you.
I'm saying that's way more terrifying than, whoa, what if I was six more inches taller?
I don't need that. I mean, everyone's made mistakes. I'm sure we've all made catastrophic mistakes. If you can really look and see the alternate versions of every choice you've made, I'm sure there are more optimized versions of every choice that we've made that could lead to much better lives. But, you know, like, we don't get to go back and change those decisions. So why torture ourselves with that?
It's so funny that you call it torture.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see your perspective is that it would just be fun, you know? But, yeah, I think that it would haunt me, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on Jared's side.
All right. Let's talk about the interdimensional cable skits. Let's talk about what are your favorites. Ryan, let's start with you.
I mean, Anson Eyes Johnson
of course.
Is the one that made me laugh the most.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, Anson Your Eyes Johnson is pretty awesome.
And yours is Ball Fondlers, Alec?
No, I like Anson My Eyes Johnson. I also really like Gazorpazorp Field.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a big fan of Detective Baby Legs.
That one's pretty good.
I remember that one, I laughed my ass off just as soon as you see him start stumbling and he's actually running after the bad guy. But like, he, you know, it's not only that he's got baby legs, but he walks like a baby.
See, I thought that was the funniest part when he walked like the baby and fell, but they dragged that one on for a while, I felt.
I also found myself liking Real Fake Doors.
Yeah, that's great. It's classic.
Oh, yeah, Real Fake Doors is probably the best one when they're like, when they get the hit, he has the whole drive to his house.
And he's just making a sandwich, and then the commercial's still going.
Like, what the fuck? It's still happening. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's probably number two for me.
So, I mean, this kind of goes more to the point I was talking about with the Bushworld Adventures thing, is the idea that you can get a bunch of people drunk in a recording booth talking about nonsense and then make it make actual sense in the context of the world of Rick and Morty speaks more to the absurdity of the show's premise and how they can really get away with so much. And I can't help but think, if you know how season 4 is still up in the air, and I'm sure this has to do with the fact that the negotiations are pretty rough, but I think that if it is the case that Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland are just holding out for more money, which I'm sure it is, I think they're 100% justified because this is like an IP factory dream. Like, it's built into the show that pretty much anything they do, they can make a Run the Jewels thing, they can make a Bush World Adventures thing, they can create any world they want.
They can bring back a sauce from the dead.
Right. They can bring back a sauce from the dead. I mean, the IP potential here is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Have they taken advantage of that? I mean,
I think that's what they're trying to do. Well, I'm saying that Dan and Justin are probably making sure that they get back end for all the toys and posters and you know, all that stuff. I mean, because, like, even look at your shirt. Like, Ryan is wearing a shirt where Rick looks like the Joker, and yeah, I don't think that the show is necessarily saying that there is an alternate reality where Rick is the Joker, although if there are infinite realities, I suppose there is.
I think they're saying that Rick's like the Joker.
Well, that too. But I think that, yeah, once again, this just speaks more to the fact that they can do anything. They can do Bush World Adventures. They can get people drunk, and it all works. Not only is it acceptable within the premise of the show, but it really works well. It actually, it optimizes the show. It makes the show sometimes at its best.
My other favorite is Alien Invasion, Tomato Monster, Mexican Armada Brothers, who are just regular brothers running in a van from an asteroid and all sorts of things, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was definitely one of the clearest drunk improvisational points. That was one of the ones I think they start laughing at the end.
Yeah. Did the guns in that look like the original NES Duck Hunt gun to you?
The tomato guns?
Yeah, one of them looked like the NES Duck Hunt gun, but that...
It had not crossed my mind.
But isn't... The Duck Hunt gun is like a pistol. Wasn't it more of like a rifle?
Yeah, it was a rifle, but it looked like a big... Maybe just the colors are the same or something.
Maybe it was the Super Scope 6. So you guys know about that?
I don't.
For the Super Nintendo?
No.
Man.
You're on a different level than
you guys didn't even game. Yeah, clearly. What did you think about Strawberry Smiggles?
Oh,
where like they,
dude, yeah, that one's great. Yeah. And then they cut them open. And I really love the shot of just the little boy, like just without even blinking, just like cutting open Strawberry Smiggles. Oh, it's really cool. Yeah. Did y'all like that one?
I like that one. I mean, there are very few that I didn't like. The one of them that I didn't really like was the one with the trunk people.
You don't like that one?
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, and then the sniffing guy, the guy whose car, when he hits the horn, it like makes a sniffing noise or something, or sneezes.
Yeah,
he's sneezy. That's it. It's sneezy, not sniffles.
That one was okay. Yeah. I'm probably on your side. I'm just looking at my notes, and the one I forgot that I really loved is the Weekend at Bernie's one with cats that Jerry wrote.
Yeah, that one's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and the guy's fucking. Yeah.
And that amazing, there's a crazy animation shot when the cat opens the dead lady's mouth and you
so
just
good.
See
gross.
It's gaping. It's like a really gross animation.
Well, and then there's the part where the guy is like having sex with her and that Have you seen Weekend at Bernie's 2, Ryan?
Oh, dude, I love both of them.
Both of them. I've only seen the first one, but I heard the second one's bad.
Well, it's ridiculous, but yeah,
more so than the first one.
The first one's like a legit teen, you know.
Yeah, I like that
comedy
movie
and stuff. And the second one, it just takes that premise. There's just an amazing intro, like the intro credits are like an animation of the first movie, right? And it's really cool that you should check out. But yeah, the second one, they just take the premise and you know
they ran it into the ground.
Yeah, they jumped the shark pretty quickly.
All right. Anything else you guys want to say before we move on to Beth and Jerry?
No. I want to watch Interdimensional Cable, though.
I think this is going to get lost, but I did notice one other thing, which is Rick is asking if they have any wafer cookies. It seems like Rick has an affinity for wafers.
Oh, but it wasn't Simple Rick's. That would be too epic if they actually planted that in this early.
No, but yeah, he likes wafers, and then it makes sense that the thing to enslave all the Ricks is Simple Rick's wafers.
Oh, it's Simple Rick's.
Because all Ricks
because Ricks love wafers.
Yeah.
Wait. Remind me about the wafer plot.
He's just like... He goes into the kitchen while Beth and Jerry and Summer are using the goggles, and he says, "You guys really backed the wrong conceptual horse because me and Morty are in the other room watching a show called Ball Fondlers, and it's so awesome." And while he's telling them that, the reason he went into the kitchen is to get some wafers.
Mm-hmm.
Remind
me about Rick's wafers.
Well, basically, we're just saying he went into the kitchen to get wafers, and then if you remember from season 3 in the
Tales of the Citadel.
Tales of the Citadel episode, remember Simple Rick's wafers?
Oh, yeah.
So we're saying that the reason it's wafers instead of Simple Rick's, you know, chocolate chip cookies or something is because Rick's like wafers.
Yeah. My dad likes wafers.
Wafers are great. I'm not shitting on wafers.
Vanilla wafers and stuff. I feel like that's a dad or grandpa snack.
Yeah, I don't really, I'm not really much of a wafers man.
I never get a craving for wafers. Ever.
I don't crave them, but every now and then I'm like, I should eat these more, and then I forget.
Really? I like them when they're in banana pudding. All right, continue.
All right, so let's move on to the Beth and Jerry plot. I guess what I want to bring up first up is just Morty's lesson to Summer. I think this is the most powerful part of, and it's probably one of the most iconic moments of the whole series. So I'm going to go ahead and read the quote. So Morty comes up to Summer and says, hey, you doing okay? I kind of know how you feel, Summer. And she says, no, you don't. You're the little brother. You're not the cause of your parents' misery. You're just a symptom of it. And he says, can I show you something? And she says, Morty, no offense, but a drawing you made of me when you were 8 isn't going to make me feel like less of an accident. Then Rick says, that out there, that's my grave. On one of our adventures, Rick and I basically destroyed the whole world, so we bailed on that reality and we came to this one. Because in this one, the world wasn't destroyed, and in this one, we were dead. So we came here and we buried ourselves and we took their place. And every morning, Summer, I eat breakfast next to my own rotting corpse. And then she says, so you're not my brother? And she says, I'm better than your brother. I'm a version of your brother you can trust when he says, don't run. Because nobody exists on purpose. Nobody belongs anywhere. Everyone's going to die. Come watch TV. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I didn't remember what is the context in which this line was said. I guess I never really remembered what Summer was running away from. And I think it's really interesting that Summer is basically, she feels like, well, so are we to believe that this is the first time that Summer realizes that she was the product of an accidental pregnancy?
Yeah, that's what they said.
But don't they, but doesn't Rick bring that up in front of the family like earlier on in the season? Well, I feel like he did.
There's always the teenage pregnancy thing, which you could plausibly deny like, oh, it happened too early, but maybe it was on purpose or maybe it was an accident that they came to love. But I think it's really put in her face that not only was it an accident, she's ruining her parents' life. Who would have been a human surgeon and a famous actor if it weren't for her.
And they seriously considered getting an abortion.
Right. And at first, Jerry says...
Like it was only because the car broke down that they didn't get the abortion.
Right. Jerry at first
and then,
says
and
he,
then talked, he
her,
talked her out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he says he talked her out of it. But then later we learn, yeah, they blew a tire on the way to the abortion clinic. So which was it exactly? It seems like he didn't... Maybe the tire blowing was what led to the conversation where he talked her out of it.
You know, I never really remembered that when Morty says, come watch TV, I always just kind of thought of that as, and I think it still works this way. It's like, okay, so, you know, existence is absurd, you know, come distract yourself. But I think it's the fact that it's interdimensional cable. And once again, as we spoke about a little bit earlier here, how that really speaks to the absurdity of the show. It's more than just distraction. It's more like, come embrace the absurd.
Yeah.
Come embrace the fact that that no one is born for a reason. That, you know, we're all orphans to, you know, our celestial absent father figure or whatever. So come relish in the absurdity of life by watching weird shit like Ants in Your Eyes Johnson and Real Fake Doors and stuff like that. So that's something that I, upon rewatching, that I really appreciated here. Because once again, when I revisit that line and when I think about it, I always just think of it being purely about distraction, not embracing absurdity.
Yeah, I think that's a good read. And, you know, there's some worlds where people are evolved from pieces of corn. So there's that too.
Yeah.
I love just the line, nobody exists on purpose. It's just a nice, beautiful sentence.
So recently we did a video on Metal Gear Solid and Hideo Kojima. And part of that was a little bit of research on Moby Dick, which is it's my favorite Thug Notes episode for what it's worth. But I wanted to read a quote from Moby Dick that I think speaks a lot to what Morty is saying here. The line is, and this is a very short line, but I'm going to say it. He says, our souls are like those orphans whose unwedded mothers die in bearing them. The secret of our paternity lies in their grave, and we must there to learn it. That's it. But I think that similar to one of the metaphors that Ahab imposes on Moby Dick is that it's basically that our souls are like orphans and that either a non-existent God or a deadbeat dad God is absent. So whether or not we have parents, whether or not we have parents that care for us in a existential sense, in a celestial sense, we're all orphans that are without a purpose or without a reason of being brought into this world. And that's something that's definitely explored in the book, which, by the way, I hesitate to recommend reading this book. I mean, there are some gems in this book where there are really awesome lines like this, but you really have to get through like hundreds and hundreds of pages just about whaling and whaling economies. to get to the good stuff, to get to Ahab kind of waxing poetic
about...
Just watch the Thug Notes. To get to Ahab waxing poetic about the universe and his vengeance and that kind of stuff.
Well, I recommend the John Huston movie so you can just skip all that shit.
See, I think there's a better adaptation. It's called Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Everyone should go watch it.
Really? Is that a thing?
Moby Dick is being read in it, and Khan and Kirk have this very Ahab and whale relationship. So yeah, it's a reimagining of parts of that story in context of space.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I have seen Wrath of Khan, but that never crossed my mind.
He's literally saying, what's it like, "For my vengeful heart, I plunge at thee," or something. They're quoting the book as they're trying to murder each other.
But it's more, Wrath of Khan is more just about vengeance, but there's not that kind of existential angst that Ahab has.
A little bit.
Or is it there?
I mean, it's not maybe as expansive, but Kirk and all the Star Trek people are getting old, and they're reflecting on their place in the world now that they're old. And now this sort of old foe, Khan, comes, you know, back from not the dead, but pretty much.
I worked on that movie, Alec.
No, you didn't.
I was the, get this, I was the security guard, night security guard at the for the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, you're talking—
to make sure that paparazzis wouldn't come in.
You're talking about Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is the Wrath. Khan is in that movie. For some reason, I thought you were talking about that movie. Yeah, no, I didn't. I wasn't born yet.
I'm still impressed. I'm very happy that you have a tangential relationship to Star Trek.
I have some funny stories about sneaking into the Starship Enterprise, I'll tell you after the podcast.
So how do you guys read the epiphany that happens in the end where Beth and Jerry, you know, embrace and—
That's beautiful. It was awesome.
Yeah, but describe to me what they realize. Do they realize that ultimately their preferred lives would be no better than the ones that they have? I think that the way that we're meant
to
read
it—
Maybe
worse, kind of.
Yeah. What about you, Alec?
They seem just as bad, but they maybe, like, the grass is always greener kind of thing is going on there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at one point, Beth is literally drinking herself stupid while in VR watching herself drink herself stupid surrounded by birds for some reason. And then that's when, you know, shortly after that, Jerry comes after the police chase. He's got, like, a needle sticking out of his arm and, like, a tourniquet, like he's been shooting up heroin. But I don't know. It's not like their relationship, they're truly happy. We see all the time how fucking miserable they are. So I don't know. We're going to be miserable regardless, so let's be miserable together. Is that the message?
I think it's you're on the right track. It's like a affirmation of the family unit. It's like we could go and, you know, you could go pursue your own dreams and, you know, it will make you happy in the short term because you're a better surgeon or you're, you know, whatever the fuck Jerry's doing. But, you know, you're also going to be lonely and empty and inside, you know, than the love that comes inherent with
it. But they're still lonely and empty inside.
Well, but yeah, but then, like you said, they're like, oh shit, I would be worse. So this is actually great, what I'm doing now.
It does seem like the most— probably, other than at the end of season 3, probably the most optimistic take on Beth and Jerry's marriage that we've seen in the show.
Absolutely. And I honestly, kind of after seeing this, I was surprised because when you see them fighting in future seasons and episodes, you were like, you forget that, hey, shit, they've already had this revelation in Interdimensional Cable. Like, why can't they just remember that? Remember how, you know, their lives were in the other thing?
But I mean, the asshole part of me is like, yeah, but then isn't there a reality where Jerry's a movie star and doesn't regret the abortion?
Well, right, exactly.
I mean, I think that we're obviously not supposed to think about that and, you know, probably take the infinite timelines thing with a bit of a grain of salt.
It's like the timeline where Hitler cured cancer, dude.
Just don't think about it. Yeah. Exactly. That's all the talking points I have. Do you guys want to bring up anything else?
I fucking love this turquoise joke.
Do you think it was specifically meant to be Santa Fe? Because that's all there is in Santa Fe. It's in the Southwest, and there's really the only thing to do there is buy turquoise.
So I want to compare. So there's what I imagine this area is like, but you've actually been there many times, Jared. So the place I do have experience with is South Florida, where it's not turquoise. Everything is sea turtle related. So you can buy like sea turtle art and sea turtle jewelry. Is turquoise just like the sea turtles of the Southwest?
I can only really speak to Santa Fe. I mean, my sister lives in New Mexico, and I've been to Santa Fe, and all it seems to be is a bunch of turquoise shops.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, I think that, I mean, and Santa Fe is very much kind of like an artsy, hippie town where people go to just, like, live off their art, and a lot of times that means make turquoise stuff.
But I also feel like I know other people have been just to the, not Santa Fe necessarily, but that general area, and they come back with turquoise shit.
I don't know. It could just be a joke. Maybe they are talking about Santa Fe. Maybe, I mean, it definitely resonated with me because I have that personal experience. But yeah, I think that's an awesome joke.
Do you want to get into questions? Is it time for that?
Sure. All right. So, guys, let's move into the mailbag. Alec, I believe you have some questions pulled out.
I do. And if anyone would like to send us questions for next week, we will be covering season 1, episode 9 of Rick and Morty, I presume. You can send those questions to squanch@wisecrack.co. That's dot.
Which one is that? Which episode is that? Anyone remember?
I'm going to Google it.
All right.
Is it memory parasites?
It is something wicked this way comes. So actually, no, we're not going to
fail. We're actually not. Oh, yeah. We're going to be skipping that one because you've already done that.
All right.
One.
Then we're doing close Rick counters of the Rick kind.
Which one is that?
Now I have to read the recap.
Sorry.
Wait, is that the season finale?
It's the 10th episode of the first season of Rick and Morty.
Oh, I think it had 11 episodes.
He's kidnapped by a group of alternate... Oh, yeah, he stands trial for crimes against Rick.
Oh, this is the Council of Ricks. Yeah. Oh,
so cool. We'll be doing season 1, episode 10. Send those questions about this episode or Council of Ricks episode to squanch@wisecrack.co. That is .co, not .com. Anyway, here's the questions. So we got an email from Jordan who says, "Hi, Wisecrack. This message is in regards to the Squanch episode about raising Gazorpazorp. While being interviewed for Entertainment Weekly, Dan Harmon was asked his 5 favorite episodes. He replied that he could tell his least favorite. Before responding further, he said, like the bad parent I am, I choose children that the public chooses. That's how I was raised. If you're funny to the company when they come over for dinner, then you're a good son. Harmon continues with, I can give you the least favorite. It's the one with the Amazonian women. I was so proud of it while I was writing it. And then I read people's comments on how it felt stale in the 80s and its observations about gender. And now I hate it and want it to die by fire. But that's because of people's reactions to it, or I would love it. And then Jordan continues, I wanted to share this because it felt like it reaffirms what was touched upon in the podcast. Also, Ranker.com received over 3,000 votes ranking all 31 episodes of Rick and Morty. Raising Gazorpazorp was voted least favorite at 31. The episode Interdimensional Cable 2, Tempting Fate, came in at number 30.
Wow. Well, Alec, you weren't here for that one. What do you feel about Raising Gazorpazorp?
I did not. I listened to all of your wonderful voices, but I did not rewatch the episode. Yeah, it doesn't really stand out. I mean, it stands out because of the Zardoz references, and you and I love Zardoz, Jared. But
I think I'm a sucker. I'm just such a sucker for that. It'll never be my least favorite episode.
But I definitely sympathize with Dan Harmon in that, as someone who writes things, what I think about things that I write is often colored by what people think about them on the internet. one of my favorite episodes I've ever written is The Philosophy of Deadpool, and I fucking hated it when I handed it in to you, Jared, and then people really liked it. I was like, oh, no, it's the best thing I've written.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to hear Dan Harmon say that he would love it if people didn't react negatively about it. That surprises me because I don't know. I try not to have that reaction to things that I write. I mean, there are certainly things that we've done that I really, really love that have not performed well as well, or were not as well received as things that as other things. But I try not to have that color the way I personally feel about it.
Well, I mean, this probably has more to do with just that it's a sensitive, touchy, you know, you're not writing about gender differences and stuff. You know, he probably like wrote this cool like thing that he thought was like had this hot take. And then he's like, you know what? People called me out on how kind of cliche my hot take was. And now I feel like I agree with them.
Yeah, I'll say what I said last time, and that is that I think that it was maybe old comedy, but done in a new way, packaged it up in a fresh way. So I didn't think it was so overly like 80s, 90s humor that I was just like, oh God, this is so tired. I thought that some of the jokes were pretty funny.
Yeah, me too.
I should also say, Jordan, she sent us some porn names, but I feel like porn names has been won by two. Also listening, so two names stick out to me that I feel like win, which is Rick and Morty, which I believe you read last.
Well, there's also Dick and Morty.
No, but we got Rick and Morty. It's simple. It's pure.
Oh, this is the one we did last time, right?
Yeah, and then the other one that stands out is Fister She Seeks. But if I see any that trump those, I should read them. Unless people want us to keep reading those. What do you guys think?
I think let's keep the train rolling.
Keep definitely. It rolling? All right. So thank you.
Is this Jordan's?
Yeah.
Come on, Jordan. Show me what you got.
First one, The Betting Squanchers.
The Betting Squanchers.
Keep going.
Okay.
Number two, Mr. Goldenfold Divides His Terry Folds.
That's a good one.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
There's a lot of them. I'll skip past. There's...
No, keep
okay,
going.
Okay, fine.
Give us your best two or three.
Do you want me to curate or do you want all of them?
How many are there?
They're lettered, not numbered. It goes to I. So how many letters is that?
Okay, give us your best two
give
or three.
Give us the
best curate.
One. All right. Okay, Principal Vagina gets Alan Railed.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Alan Rail, like the in the Vindicators episode, the train guy. Alan Rail, yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
And then I guess my next favorite one is Pickled Dick Potion number 69.
Okay.
I feel like this is the best we've had in a while. Are you sure that we shouldn't give Jordan some more airtime here?
Sure, do it.
All right, Mrs. Pancake gets Szechuan sauced.
That's so good. Yeah, I can't believe you almost skipped over that.
I'm sorry to all of our listeners.
All right, keep going.
Let's see. Wait, did I read Interdimensional Cable 3 Noob Noobs Boob Tube?
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
Damn.
That was pretty good.
All right, there's A Rick, A Skank, A Redemption, Vindicators Fornicate.
I don't even think that one was good, but just something about it tickled me.
A Blowjob is Better Than No Job, : Morty's Mind Blowers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last one is, and I don't think I understand this one, or I'm not sure if I want to. King Tommy reverse drafts his mommy.
Reverse drafts?
Like giraffe the animal.
I'm looking that up immediately.
Are you looking at Brian? Well, let's know how it goes.
Just reverse drafts, if that's some sort of porn terminology.
All right. Well, guys,
please
keep the porn names coming. I'm at least enjoying it. I don't know about these guys wanting
to.
They keep wanting to shorten it, you know?
Again, like Dan Harmon, if people like it, I like it. If they don't, then I don't like it.
Oh, that's weak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you find out what it is, Ryan?
No. Not really.
Okay, let's move on. What's the next question?
All right. This is an email from Riley who says, I am a huge fan of your guys' show, hailing from Canada. Well, hello, Canada. With that being said, in the recent podcast on Raising Gazorpselp, I felt like you guys were thinking like bloody buffoons when discussing Summer's defense of if the top is cute, you cannot execute, paraphrasing. By the way, I wasn't there, but I love that line. Anyway, the meaning of the entire speech is obvious. The female Gazorpian society is entirely built on female power and a general disrespect / loathing of men. However, since they love Summer's top, which was made by a man, it would be hypocritical since the Gazorpians are going to execute Rick for being a man. Thus, Summer's defense makes perfect sense. If the top is cute, if you like the top that was made by a man, you cannot execute, then you cannot execute Rick for being a man. And I'm going to agree with
Riley.
We didn't
understand
that. I don't know if that would hold up in a court of law, but okay.
Well, of course. But, you know, when I was listening to you, Burns and Ryan, I was like, God, you bloody buffoons, you're not getting it.
No, you're so full of shit. No, you didn't.
I didn't think the word bloody buffoons, but I was like, come on, Jared.
I mean, I don't have the lines in front of me, but I still maintain that it doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay, fine. All right, next.
Ryan, do you think it makes sense?
I get what they're going for, obviously.
I actually didn't remember us bumbling that hard over that.
I was saying that, I was being absurdly critical, and I get it. You want to call me an asshole, I deserve it. But the point I was trying to make is that she says that imposing our laws on Earth would be hypocritical. Therefore, she lets them go, and I said, it would make sense if she said Earthlings instead of Earth, because she's not imposing their laws on Earth.
I think you might be right about that, but I'm only an expert on bird law, so that's all I really understand.
Okay.
I don't think you two got that reference, but I think people listening get that.
Bird law?
Yeah. It's
like bird person?
No. It's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You just ruined the joke, Jared.
Well, you're the one who fucking brought up about it. I don't know if you guys got it or not. And then
I'm sorry.
You could have just moved on, bro.
Yeah. All right. The last email, this is, I think, our second email from Varun. Hey, Squanch, Varun here. Thanks y'all so much for answering my question last week. Jared, you absolutely nailed the pronunciation of my name the first time around. And props on that, because not many people get it on the first try before going... fuck me, moving right along.
Well, I hope you didn't fuck it up, Alex.
No. Well, he spelled it. I didn't read it, but he said, that's what. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm always.
Good job, Jared.
He says, last week I asked about the C-137 aspect and Rick's mindset on Don't Think About It. I just want to clarify on something that y'all said in response to my question about Rick and Jaguar's talk. Rick specifically says, I even abandoned one of my infinite daughters on an alternate version of Earth that was taken over by mutants. The writers have said before that they don't hide any secrets on the show, and I'm sure Rick is referencing the Earth he and Morty abandoned in Rick Potion number 9. Just a clarification. So there's that. And then he says, for the Zorp episode, I was a little upset that y'all didn't mention the fact that Morty Jr. has a bunch of cryptic realizations about the world after leaving the house. Those being, quote, God is dead, the government's lame, Thanksgiving is about killing Indians, etc. It was my favorite line in the episode. And I also really love that line. So,
well, as far as the first thing, I don't remember exactly what he's responding to, but I mean, I think we were all aware that's what Rick was referencing in that episode, in the Pickle Rick episode.
I think you were talking about, like, has he thought of, like, his rules don't think about it, but clearly he's thought about it because he's giving this whole thing about infinite daughters and leaving them behind and stuff like that.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. And as far as the second thing with that line, I mean, I like that line. I don't really think that it kind of heightens our understanding of the episode at all. It is just kind of like a general joke about disillusionment. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny. Do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Not particularly.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not illuminating, but I do really just love that line. So,
yeah.
That is actually all the questions we have for today, or emails. That one wasn't really a question.
All right. Well, guys, then that's going to be it for the Squanch today. Guys, where can we find you on the internet?
Shit, you can look up Ryan's Game Show or Ryan Shorts on YouTube or Facebook. I got all sorts of weird stuff on there.
Okay, and Alec?
I'm on the Twitter at Alec_Opperman. You could just search for Alec and Wisecrack. I'll probably pop up on Twitter. And also, I allegedly have a podcast coming out with Wisecrack about Westworld.
Oh, fuck, yeah. let me plug that. So first of all, guys, Westworld Season 2 is coming out. Westworld's a very special show for Wisecrack because it's all about analyzing. It's all about subtext. It's all about meaty philosophical discourse. So we're super excited. So Alec is heading a Westworld podcast. You can actually check it out on iTunes. Or is it up on iTunes yet, Alec?
I saw an email that said it was approved. So I think it's called The Maze. So if you search Wisecrack, The Maze, Westworld, maybe it'll come up. If it doesn't come up, just pay attention to our Twitter. I'm sure we'll put a link. You could also follow me on Twitter. I'm sure I'll tweet about it.
Yeah, so check out The Maze. We have one episode up. It's kind of a recap of the themes of season one, mm-hmm, to prime you guys for season two. And I'm not on it. So that's reason enough to check it out.
Be sure to leave lots of great comments that aren't, you know, where the fuck is Jared? We want Jared.
No, I don't think anyone's going to say that.
I'm psyched to listen to The Maze, though. Are y'all doing like every episode of the season?
We're going to do every episode of season two. Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah,
oh, so it's starting season two. We're not going to go.
Well, I mean, we might do like what we did here. We might go back after season two and do season one episodes. But right now we just did a primer season one episode and then we'll start. Does season two air on this upcoming Sunday?
I should know that, but yeah, I think it does.
Well, we got to figure that out. But yeah, we're going to be hitting the ground hard on Westworld, so come join us.
I have a question about interdimensional cable. All right, mm-hmm. You get to make your own interdimensional cable episode of anything you want. Go, Jared, on the spot.
I would want to see an episode of, I would want to see the news cycle of Snuffles World.
Snuffles.
So Snuffles, you know, he went to the new dog world and kind of created the dog paradise.
Okay.
In the second episode in Lawnmower Dog. So I'd like to check in on him and see what that world is going. So I would have loved to have switched to that channel and seen, you know, how the dog utopia is going.
Alec?
Jared had such a great answer. I think it's the hamsters in people's butts. I want to see a whole I want to see Tales of the Citadel, but Tales of the Hamster Butt Living People.
Oh, okay. So you guys are just living inside Rick and Morty. I was just thinking of anything.
Oh, yeah. No,
of
we can
time.
Definitely get weirder about it. I would also love to see a dimension where Jerry is smarter than Rick. If that's possible.
That's in the comics. If anyone wants to check out the Oni Press comics, there's a whole timeline about a super smart Jerry.
Dude, wow.
All right.
Ryan, what about you?
Well, I mean, those were good answers, y'all. I mean, I was thinking like a Seinfeld, a universe where Seinfeld, like every episode was, or every character was Kramer. That would be cool, you know.
You know what I would like? I would like to visit a universe where Rick and Morty season 4 is up.
Oh, dude, yeah. I'd like to visit a universe Rick and Morty season, like, 25 was up.
Yeah, see how we can just catch up.
Wait,
yeah.
I want to revise my answer. I want a world where Star Trek Discovery doesn't suck. That's the only thing I want.
Oh, man. Okay. Shots fired.
I don't know if that exists. It's probably hard to find.
I have not watched it yet. Anyway, guys, that's it for the Squanch today. Thank you, guys. Send us emails. Check out The Maze, our Westworld podcast. And we will see you next time with Season 1, Episode 9 of Rick and Morty.
Season 10.
This has been The Squanch. Episode 10, I'm sorry. This has been The Squanch. Goodbye.
Wubba Lubba, I love you!
Goodbye.